Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Inner Consciousness. I am your host, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, and today, this week, on the Inner Consciousness Healing from Within, we have a very, very special treat for you. I have all of the hosts of the Family Healing Circle. Every one of our hosts is here, except for our very newest one, Miss Rosemary Cook. And if you missed her show on Monday, look for her every Monday on Totally Whole. But we have a new host who will be starting with us next month, and that is Miss Deletta Gillespie. Deletta.
Yes.
How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Welcome to the Inner Consciousness.
Good to be here, thank you.
All right. Is there anything you'd like for our listeners to know about you as we get started this evening?
Well, I guess they would want to know who... who they're going to be spending time with on Sunday evenings. Deletta Gillespie, I am primarily known as a performing artist, a singer, songwriter, vocalist, actor, etc. I also teach performing arts as well as history. And I am the newest person to join the lineup here at the Family Healing Circle, and I'm just really excited about being a part.
Thank you. And every month on Thursdays, you're used to hearing her voice. She is totally empowered. It is Angela Hardy who opens up every month with the first Thursday of the month. Angela.
Hey, hello, hello, hello.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm happy to be on here with all the other hosts. I'm excited to share this with you guys.
So it's good
Yay!
To have you.
You guys know I like to have fun, so we're going to have fun.
We're going to have lots of fun today. This is going to be unique, different, and we're going to have a great time. All right. The second Thursday of every month from our relationship show, One Love, One Connection, One Us. It is Arlene Cahet.
Thank you, thank you. It's so wonderful to be here, and thank you for having me, Harvey, and everyone from the Family Healing Circle. I love you all very much.
All right. Thank you, thank you, Arlene. And the third Thursday of every month, it's time to man up with our own Superman, Mr. Jamel Gilliam.
Thank you for that intro. I wonder if my wife would agree with you about me being Superman, but I'll take it. Anyway. what I will say is I want to just say hello to all folks out there in the blogosphere, and it's great to be on the show with my colleagues. Folks that are healers, folks that are out there doing the work, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have each and every one of you. It is definitely a blessing to be able to do the show and to be able to do it with people who you really care about and get along with. Now, those of you who are regular listeners know that I always do a universal law. Today, I am going to do the first law of the universe. Though it is the first law of the universe, it is a little known law. It is called the law of perpetual transmutation of energy. And it goes like this. All persons have within them the power to change the conditions of their lives. Higher vibrations consume and transform lower ones. Thus, each of us can change the energies in our lives by understanding the universal laws and applying the principles in such a way as to affect change. The energy of the universe is always moving and transmuting into and out of form. This law of nature further tells us that energy is always in a state of motion. It will take one form, move to another form, but is always in motion and never standing still. This law relates to the universe and our consciousness through the realization that everything seen and unseen is constantly changing. We can harness this energy and transform it into whatever form we desire. That's right. We have the power to do this. We should then realize that the energy that is with us at the moment can be focused towards good. That's right, people, towards good. And then things around us and within us will change for the better. The energy is flowing into our consciousness constantly. We transform this energy into whatever we choose through our focus of attention at the moment. The formless energy is amenable to being shaped by our minds. So let's think about that. This is called healing from within. So we just found out that the first law of the universe, one that is almost unknown, the law of transmutation of energy tells us that our mind can shape our lives by the thoughts. So if we look at what's going on in the world, as a matter of fact, I want to ask this question. If it's true, all people have within them the power to change the conditions of their lives, how do we do it? How do we do that, Family Healing Circle? How do we change our lives from within? How do we change our lives using this first law of the universe, using our mind and focused attention? Who want to talk to me about that?
This is Angela. You know, I hate to just repeat what you said, but you said it. I think the first thing is going within. And a lot of people don't do that. They don't take the time to sit by themselves. They don't take the time to silence their mind. They don't take the time to eliminate external noise and factors. Something as simple as getting in the car, if you think about it, when people get in the car, usually out of habit, you turn the key, you put your seatbelt on, and then you hit the radio. So that's an unconscious movement that a lot of times rob people the opportunity to merely drive in silence. So instead of kind of doing that routine, turn the ignition, put the seatbelt on, and just take a ride and think and be aware and be present. A lot of people don't do that. And so if you don't take the time to do that, then you can't create the setting that we are powerful enough to do on our own.
Well, Angie, let me ask you this, and I'm not going to get away from that first question, but this is just to you. So I'm going to be John Brown, and I'm sort of a knucklehead, and I'm hearing what you're saying because, you know, I'm seeking change, but change don't come easy. Change don't come without pain. So I get in my car, and I don't cut my music on. I don't cut anything on except for the car. Now I'm riding down the street, and I'm alone with my thoughts. And in my thoughts, there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of pain, and I'm thinking all the wrong things. So where are you then? What do you say to me then?
Well, the first thing, Mr. John Brown.
You know, John Brown, God's angriest man. Y'all
first
can look
thing,
that up
Mr.
on the
John
internet
Brown.
For anybody who don't know.
I definitely understand. And, you know, not that I am, but I've been known to have a Pollyanna-type mentality. So I want to be sure that Mr. John Brown understands that I'm not saying it's going to be so easy in the beginning. It takes work. It takes training your mind. It takes training your thoughts. It takes repetition so that what you're doing becomes a habit. So in the case of Mr. John Brown, who drives in silence and hears those angry thoughts and it just makes him more angry, see, part of what needs to be done is that he has to work through that anger, in my opinion. A lot of times we don't sit with that anger. That anger, every emotion is important to me. So whether I'm happy, sad, crying, mad, angry, fearful, doubtful, guilty, whatever I'm feeling, that's important to me. And so if I don't allow myself to feel that, or I don't get to the core of why I'm feeling that, then I've neglected to seek the benefits of anger. Anger is not necessarily a bad thing if you grow from it, if you understand it, if you learn from it. But a lot of times, you know, we as humans, we don't take the time to do that. And so, in my opinion, he has to sit through it. You got to work through it. You may cry. You got to come back and cry some more until all your tears are dried up. So that's my humble opinion. You know, you got to work through it. You got to sit with it, and eventually, it will phase into another level. That anger may turn into remorse. That remorse may turn into guilt, and then that guilt may turn into, you know, gratification, and then you're fine with that topic.
Okay, I like that. I like that. Now, I don't want to have just a conversation with you, but I do want to say this to you, and actually, I guess, to everybody. Then I'm going to go back, and I want to get some of the other hosts in, and anybody who wants to join the conversation, please feel free to press 1 on your button on your telephone, and you can get in on the conversation with us. But I remember when you said, you know, about understanding all of your emotions and, you know, looking or knowing all of your emotions, it reminds me of when I was in the military. I was stationed in Korea, and this was a particularly ugly night in the field. We would go out 1 week at a time, come back in for a week, go back out for a week, and you play war games. And you just know when you're out there, 5 hours is the average amount of sleep you're going to get. If you can get, and I'm talking about for the whole week, I'm not a night, but for the whole week. So you figure 5 days, you're averaging, yeah, but, you know, you train to get the job done. And getting the job done doesn't allow you to sleep. So we have a little downtime this one particular night after the rain, and, you know, there was some snow out there, and so the snow then kind of melted. But you can imagine how muddy the ground is. So we're all just sitting down in this mud, and we're having a conversation. And, you know, there's a guy in my unit who's from West Africa, and he says something to us that it went over my head. I can tell you it's only been within the last 5 years that I fully appreciated what he said. And what he said is likened to what you just said. You know, so we're out there and everyone is complaining about being in the field, about being cold, about being wet. And if you know anything about combat arms and the military, you know, Marines or the Army, I was an Army guy, then you know that if you're cold and wet, there's one thing missing. You can't just be cold and wet. You got to be cold, wet, and hungry because the food haven't got to where you are. And chances are by the time it get there, you to move somewhere else. So anyway, we all complain about being cold, wet, and hungry. And this guy says, I enjoy all of my emotions, and so I have no reason to complain. And everyone just paused for a minute and looked at him like, what? WTF. You know, what does that mean? But, you know, again, it's only been within the last 5 years that I understood that. You know, he wasn't saying that he's not miserable out there in it. He's just saying that he can play with the misery. He can accept the fact that this is not a great condition to be in, but it's the condition he finds himself in at this moment because of the job he chose to take. So with that said, let's boomerang back around, and would anybody else like to get in on that first question? If it's true,
yeah.
All people, okay, go ahead, yeah. Arlene.
Yes, I would say to, you know, what is his name, Joe Brown or Jim Brown? Or
John
whatever.
Brown.
Mr. Brown, John Brown, okay. All righty, I got it. So to Mr. John Brown, what I would say, if, you know, of course, that journey is not going to be an easy one because apparently, you know, if you are in that place where you are, you know, things have not been working, things have not gone necessarily the way that you would have liked it, then you have to go ahead and make that decision. That just, you know, deep within, you've made that decision, okay, this is not working, let's try something else. And then getting to that place where you start actually asking questions that are far more affirming or more revealing about what's going on within you. If you are a person who is angry, you know, exactly what are those things to start that process? What are those things that you're actually angry about? Because if you're angry, then chances are you didn't acknowledge what you were angry about when it first happened. And that is the reason why it's coming up for you. And you know, and so what are you really angry about? What is going on with you? What are those things that you haven't acknowledged that's looking to come up? Because if you're having intense reactions or intense mm-hmm. emotions, then there is something that is looking to be revealed. There's something that's looking to be healed so that you can develop more and then move forward.
Okay. So I'm going to go back mm-hmm. to being John Brown, but I'm going to give you a little backstory now. And we're not going to be talking about John Brown from Harper's Ferry, God's Angriest Man, but I'm going to keep using that moniker. All right. So John Brown is from the hood. Okay? And he grew up under some hard times. So you mm-hmm. doggone Skippy, he angry because he grew up deprived. He grew up in a rough neighborhood, you know? And if I'm John Brown, if I'm feeling this, I hear what you're saying, but none of that ain't real in my world. So how do you reach me? You, Angela, everybody else, your words are beautiful, but how do you reach me? Get me where I'm at. Get me coming straight out of the hood. Get me when I'm about to get jumped into a gang. Get me when I'm about to get locked up. Get me when I'm about to stab somebody. Get me when I'm out here on the corner trying to get my hustle on. Meet me where I'm at. What do you say to me there? Because we got to heal people from within. So your words are beautiful, but if it ain't real to me, it ain't real to me. So, Arlene, talk to me. Get real with me.
Okay, so the question that I would have for you is, what is it that you want to experience? What, you know, how would, if you were to pick the most ideal scene for yourself in your life, what is it that you are really wanting to experience? Because if you, you know, obviously if you're angry and you're not liking the way the direction of your life right at that moment, what is it that you're really wanting? What is it that you really want to experience?
Okay, so now you're assuming I'm not liking the direction of my life. If I don't know any better, the direction of my life may be good, at least if you initially ask me that question. You ask me what's the ideal situation. The ideal situation may be money and women. So what you got to say to me, especially if I'm out here getting my hustle on and that's what I'm doing. So reach me where I'm at, Arlene. Get to me where I'm at. Save this brother. Jamel, feel free to jump in. Help her out. Angie,
yes,
help her out because I'm going down.
You know what, Harvey? I'm glad you elaborated upon that because my response, in all honesty, is, one, Mr. Brown has to be tired mm-hmm. of being tired. Mr. Brown has to want more. And so, like you said, how do we know that the ideal is his ideal? See, what I see to be the perfect journey for Mr. Brown may not be what he wants. And I can't force feed him into my liking of what I think is good for him. It has to be his desire first. Before I can shed any light in any conversation, any wisdom, any of my experiences, he has to be open to receive it. And so before you try to make someone fit into this box of where they should be, they have to want to be in a position to receive, to get better, to do better, whatever better may be. And I think, you know, that becomes part of the problem with, and this may be going a little off topic, so y'all bring me back because y'all know what I do. That may be part of the problem with whether it's religion, whether it's just mankind, whether it's just society. When you become judgmental of how you think people should be, you see, I know what I want for my life, but how I like to live my life may not be ideal for that next person. But who am I to look at that next person and turn my face up and say, how you going to work for somebody else? How you going to do this? How you going to do that? That may be fine and pleasing for them. But for Angela, it doesn't work. But that doesn't mean it doesn't work for them. So the first thing is to recognize, to respect, and to ask, Mr. Brown, what do you want? Mr. Brown,
there
is this
you
good
go.
For you? Is this what you want? Is this how you like living? Now, Mr. Brown says, no, I'm tired of being tired. I don't know what to do. And then he's open to receive the information you have to get. But Mr. Brown says, yeah, I'm loving this life. I got I got women in every. I started to say something else that rhymed with area codes. I got women in every area code.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
keep
it
real.
I got women in every area code.
I got money in O's and pros.
I got money in my pocket. This is the way a man is supposed to live. Then Mr. Brown ain't going to care what I got to say. If I say, well, Mr. Brown, there's probably one woman that just want to love you up and take care of you. Don't you want to come home with one woman? Mr. Brown will look at me like I'm crazy because that's not his journey that he wants. You know what I'm saying? So you can't make somebody be where you think they should be, first of all.
Well, let me say this to you, Ange, and I'm going to step away from John Brown for a minute, and I'm going to be Harvey. It's not about making him, because John may not know he even wants the change, but it's about, like you said, talking to him. So you got to open up the lines of communication with John. You got to not be afraid to connect with this brother. Because John don't know nothing else, or maybe he don't know nothing else. If he had something else to compare it to, if he knew something else, then you may be able to get him there. But if this is what he know because of where he came from, this is all he's seen, everything else is just something on a movie screen or TV, it ain't real to him. So if we meet with John, if we down and, you know, I'm sitting on the steps, I'm standing on the corner, and I'm talking to the brother, and I'm listening to him, I'm not trying to push my spiritual beliefs. I'm not trying to push my metaphysical ideas. I'm not trying to change this brother. I'm trying to see where he come from, because that's the first step. Just because that's his mindset doesn't mean he's not open to change. He may not know. He really may not know. There's a lot of kids out here who are going down the wrong path just simply because they don't know. When somebody pull back that curtain and they see the little man is who the Wiz really is, and they realize there's another road. It's a brick road of gold that we can walk down, and we don't have to do this kind of stuff, then they start to make a shift. So first of all, we got to connect with them. We got to hear where they coming from to understand if their mind is only seeing what they know, and they haven't understood that there's another option. Because if I'm doing what I'm doing because no one told me I could be a black doctor, you know what I mean? No one told me there's a chance. My parents ain't got no money. I can't go to college. You know, my dad ain't even here. He been in and out of jail. I seen him maybe twice in my whole life. My uncles, they in and out of jail. You know, so my world is limited, and if you come talking to me and you're talking over my head, there's no way you're going to get me. And the more you talk over my head, I'm going to tune you out, and then I'm going to get angry, and then I'm going to get violent. But if you're listening to me, and I think you understand the pain that's going on, or at least you're seriously trying to understand the pain that's going on within me, then if you start to slowly and sporadically insert the idea that there's a better way, you know, if you're willing to show me that there could be a better way, but first you got to reach me where I'm at. You got to talk to me at my level, not over my head, but talk to me at my level. Jamel, would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. I wanted to get in on that, but I could tell you and you and Angela were having a great conversation.
Oh, no, it's an all of us conversation.
I do want to throw this in. I think a big part, and this is the kind of the irony, you know, Arlene, you threw out the name Jim Brown, and some Cleveland Browns fans would agree that Jim Brown was the angriest man alive.
Well, I threw out John Brown, who actually fought the slave revolt. He was a white guy, but yeah. Arlene threw Jim Brown in.
Yeah, I'm familiar with both of the Browns, but in the irony is that if you talk to either one of the folks, they would say was angry. But I wanted to also add, you know, to what Angela, when we talk about anger, I mean, I think the biggest part of anger, and I'm not above this as well. I think the biggest part of anger and the folks that I've done work with is fear. Like this, whenever you are experiencing some kind of anger, the best thing you could ask yourself is, and most people, because of their egos, won't ask this question, but if you say, what are you afraid of, or what are you, at this moment, what are you scared of, and you're really being honest and authentic about it, you'll get the answer, and that'll be the reason for the anger, because you feel like you might be losing something is being affected, something is being taken away from you. And it's really interesting because we, you know, you take a stance of powerlessness, and therein lies the reason for anger. And so it's important, you know, anger is almost like an illusion if you really think about it, because it's based on a level of fear that you experience on losing something or the perception of it. So it's kind of funny because we all have experienced that. I mean, I don't think there's a person from the baby that's 5 months old who thinks that the mom is taking a bottle from her, or the 60-year-old man who's angry that, you know, these kids are out here sagging. You know, I mean, there's definitely something in anger, you know, where we have to address, you know, why do we experience it? And it really, we got to come from a place of being victims. I mean, most of us, we know, I mean, the average person, when you talked about Harvey, of, you know, changing their reality, most of us kind of know what we need to do and should do and could do. But, you know, it's a matter of, you know, how are we motivated to do these things? You know,
right.
These are all choices that we make. We make choices.
That's life. Now, we've got a caller. I'm going to bring the caller in. But before we bring the caller in, I want to welcome Rosemary. Rosemary is one of our hosts of the Family Healing Circle. Rosemary, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah,
and we've got a caller, Mr. Jeff Davis, coming from Connecticut. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Jeff, I see that you would like to get in on this conversation.
Yeah, first of all, I have to say I Googled John Brown, and he's from Torrington, Connecticut. I didn't even know that. So he's from where I'm living now, Connecticut. But I just wanted to say I appreciate all of your guys' input. It was all awesome. One thing that came to mind, that if I had a chance to talk to our hypothetical character, John Brown, you know, in the hood, this is all he knows, what I'd say to him is I'd look him right in the eye and I'd say, John, what, I haven't lost a limb, you know what, I haven't fought in a war, but I'll say, you know what, have you ever felt like you wanted to give up before? And I'd try to connect with him by asking him questions. I'll say, have you ever felt down? Have you ever felt depressed? And I say, you know what, I felt depressed. I've had a time in my life where I had no hope, where I was at rock bottom. I never thought I would get out. And I would wait until I saw that connection in his eyes. And he'd say, yeah, sometimes it's stressful to kind of, you know, push things around town and feed the people I love. And once I got him talking, then I would say, there's a way out of this. There's a way for you to connect with your purpose, and that's by getting through what you're going through to then help inspire others. And I would find a way to kind of keep the attention on him and say, look, I know what it's like to want to give up. I know what it's like to be depressed and down, and connect with him on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. And so I want to get to the heart of this right now. So let me ask this question to anyone who want to answer, anyone who's listening. If you want to get in on the conversation, just press 1 on your phone and you can get in. But what can we do to help start the healing from within? What can we do?
You know, I've been listening on call for about 15 minutes, and basically what we're saying is that we have to be relatable. You know, we have to present ourselves in a way that people will feel comfortable in our presence. They'll feel free to open up and share their hurts or their pains. If we come to them, you know, with a holier-than-thou, or we come to them, you know, looking down on them with pity, then, you know, we're not going to reach people. But we have to just accept, and I think someone else said that already, accept people from where they are and begin to build trust. Because people want to know, can I trust you, you know, with my pain? You know, you have people who've been injured in places where they never thought they would be. They put their trust, you know, in people, in systems, you know, church, you know, whatever. And their trust have been betrayed. So it's like, where can I go and feel safe to express these deep hurts? So people want to know, first, can I trust you with this? So we reach people by meeting them where they are, being relatable, and then opening our hearts and our doors and our minds so that people can feel safe and that they can trust us, you know, with the information, with their pain, with their issues. So those are the first steps to get people to listen and to even want to think about hearing how you can help me.
All right. Thank you, Rosemary. Angie, I think I heard you was about to say something.
That was the letter.
Oh, the letter.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I heard another woman's voice. I thought it was you. But go ahead, Deletta.
Yeah. It's so interesting and great to hear everybody's comments. I teach at the university level, and I see a lot of those faces in my class, especially in some of the communities that I teach in, and I see the students. It's really interesting when you go to your faculty sessions and they're having workshops on how to spot suicidal students or how to spot homicidal students and what steps do you take and how do you talk to them. And it's really, really sobering. There are a lot of people out there and a lot of people in pain, and a lot of the reactions that we're getting are, as Reverend Jamel so eloquently put it, people who are in pain. And so one of the things, I call it my my breadcrumbs in the forest practice, where, again, as everyone has already said, you sort of engage them, you meet them where they are, you listen, you ask questions, and then you just drop a seed, just drop a breadcrumb in the forest, a comment here, comment there. And one of the things I always say to my students is, your pain, your challenges are your job. That's part of your life curriculum. I can't do that for you, but what I certainly will do is stand there with you, help provide you with whatever resources I can, and what I don't know, we can find out together, or I can point you in a direction to someone who can. And I think that that's where it starts. I got into teaching thinking that I'm going to help change the world. And yeah, well, after about when a 7-year-old sends you home crying on your third day, you you adjust those expectations really, really quickly. And so it is one person at a time, one conversation at a time, yeah, one meeting at a time. And the other thing is that people watch who you are. They watch what you do. You can speak a lot. You can say a lot. But it's how you roll. It's how you live through your challenges. People take note of that. And sometimes that's the best testimony, if you will, that you can give.
I agree, Deletta, and I really appreciate that, because I agree. And I just got to say, you know, there's no one way to reach everyone, like you said with the kids. But don't think for one minute that you're not reaching someone. Even if it's only one child, you're reaching someone. There's different ways. I met people when I was a correctional officer. I met some people who were so far gone that at that time, to me, they seemed like they were zombies. You know what I mean? They were just gone. And it was just, no matter how much you tried to deal with them, this was a person who you knew if you turned your back on them, they were going to come at you. I met a guy one time who told me the best time he had ever had in his life was his 2 tours in Vietnam. Why? Because he was paid to kill, have sex, and get high. When I met this guy, it was in the 90s. In the 90s, it was in the 1990s when I met him. He was in Vietnam in the late 60s. So you have to understand, like the letter said, being the best you can be is an example, and you don't know who's going to turn because of the model, the role model that you are. Talking to people is one of the best things we can do, but listening to them is even better. But there's no one way. For one person, for everybody, there's a different way for different people, because everybody have a different path. And some people on that path just may not be ready in this lifetime to get off of it. But I want you guys to talk to me, and I'm going to shut my mouth, and I'm only going to jump in to be John Brown one more time. But this ain't it. Talk to me, Family Healing Circle.
Dude, so.
And anyone else who wants to get in on the call, just press 1. Yes, Jamel.
I just want to add that we know for a fact that you will not shut your mouth, and that's fine. We love you anyway. I do want to add, I think, you know, it's important that, as you know, the folks that we are doing this work, I mean, even, you know, we tend to want to minimize the work that we do, but we do a lot of work. You know, Deletta with your musical healing, you know, Angela with, you know, with your beautification and helping sisters understand, you know, their beauty, you know, Reverend Arlene with your energy work, Dr. Cook with, you know, with the pastoral counseling that you do, you know, Reverend Harvey, with your, you know, the healing touch and the other energy work that you do. I think it's important that we don't take this lightly, because these are the things that folks come to us with. And, you know, they're going to take this, you know, if we can heal one person and one person is successfully healed, they will in turn pass that information on to other people. And I say this to say that we ourselves have been healed. And that's what has attracted us to this work. And so as a result of our own healing, we are in turn healing other people. So, you know, no longer do we take the macro approach of, okay, well, we're going to heal a group of people at once. You know, even if we just work with one person and they in turn pass the information on, well, you know, I heard this and I heard that, and Reverend Harvey said this, and, you know, Reverend Cook said that. That's an opportunity for us to heal a nation simply by healing that one individual, because it's worked for us. And we all have our own personal testimonies of what's worked for us. And I think that's really important, you know, as we move forward.
And I agree, and Jamil, as you were speaking, you know, we agree and we say it takes a village to raise a child. You know, it takes a village to heal one, too. So, you know, we need a community of healers, you know, people who, you know, wherever you are, whatever gifts you bring, you know, that's what it's going to take. And, you know, as Reverend Harvey was saying, you know, one person might not be able to reach that person, but if we all are involved in the work of healing in whatever aspect that is, whether you're professional or non-professional, just having enough love in your heart to listen to someone who's in pain, you know, don't devalue the impact that you can have on someone who needs help. Because people, they'll cry out, and whoever is available, you know, to hear them or to reach them, that's what's needed at the time. So I think, you know, everyone bringing their gifts together has an opportunity to reach out and help that person begin to heal.
All right, great. Then I've got one more question, because I'm looking at the time and it looks like we're getting close. So let me put this out. What can each of us do? What can we do individually? What can we do as a group? What can we do to start to affect change? Because if you look at the world, and my metaphysical understanding is the world is nothing but like one big person. So the ills that we see around the world, when we are inundated by CNN telling us how ISIS is taking over this place and that place, this is nothing but a cry for help. This is nothing but pain. You know, this is a body that's experiencing some kind of cancer. When we break it down to our own personal lives, and we are here in America where we're experiencing divorce rates still hovering at 50%. And for the first time, there are more single people in the world, not just America, but in the world, than ever before in recorded history. When I talk to the brothers and I talk to the sisters, there's a lack of trust. There's almost a sense of, I can't trust the man to take care of me and be who I need him to be. And I can't trust the woman to act right. So what can we do? What's going on? What can we as individuals do to start to affect positive change?
This is Arlene. I think that one of the things that we can do is that we can those of us who are desiring a different way of being, understand that lens that you see of CNN, that lens is relatively small, and it is focused in on getting us to believe that there, you know, that life is far worse than it actually is. These are, we do keep in a higher consciousness in prayer those situations that are troubling to us, but to still be, you know, still be about the work, to do what it is that we're doing, to whatever our gifts may be, whether or not it's through beauty, whether or not it's through pastoral counseling, to continue doing the work in and having that effect of those people who come to us, teach them what it is that we know, or guide them on the paths that, you know, that they're supposed to be on, so that that those mini drops that come to us continue to have that ripple effect, and that ripple effect will become more wider spread. In order to implement that change, I would say just keep doing what we're doing in order to bring back more love in the world, more balance in the world, so that it is a much better place. And just go ahead and be the example, because there have been many times, you know, you are you at this very moment, whatever your gift is, you are being observed, even though you're just thinking you're just doing your thing. But the truth is that through you living the most, being the best you that you can do, at every single day, every single moment of your life, is an example to others. And also is sort of a beacon of light for those who may be observing and you're not aware of it.
All right. That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Elaine. Bless you, sister. Anybody else want to jump in with something?
This is Galetta. I agree with Arlene. And one of the things I do, because I am very, very sensitive about watching those images and watching the news, I am very selective about, I stay informed, but I am not one of these people that watches the news every day, because I know that it affects me very, very deeply. I'm very much empathic, and I can't carry that with me. So one of the things that I am reminded to do is just to remind myself of the fact that I chose to be here on the planet at this time. And that means that it's my responsibility to, just as Arlene said, continue to be the light, continue to be the positivity, and to focus on the desire that we want, to focus on the world that we desire to see, because there will be enough people to spread the gloom and doom and how awful that is. We talked about fear earlier. That's where all that comes from. And no doubt that there aren't some challenges in the world. No doubt that there aren't people who are hurting. But again, we're all connected. We're all one. And vibrationally, whatever we are feeling, if we can continue to elevate our vibration in the world around us and those the environments around us, then I believe that we can begin to shift that energy. The other thing is to do what we can in small doses. I love the idea of being a part of change.org and being able to put my name on a petition of some sort. That helps. And the other thing is that to always remind people that as long as you're breathing, there's an opportunity to make today better than yesterday. I think about my students, and one of the things I tell them when we had a conversation about the hopelessness of change in America around our race issues, and the thing I said to them is, you have to remember that there were only a few generations ago where our foremothers and forefathers didn't get the opportunity to decide what they were going to major in. They didn't get the opportunity to sit in those seats that you're sitting in. They worked before they even knew what work was. They didn't have a choice in what they wore, what they ate, or anything. So there has been tremendous change, and it is because one individual and another individual and another individual, so many individuals got on the board. It took some time, but got to a tipping point where they said that this is not acceptable anymore. And so that's where we are in the world, and each of us has our own individual parts to play. And individually, we raise the vibration, and we get to the tipping point, which James Redfield says in the Celestine Prophecy. I've just drawn a blank there. But critical mass is the phrase.
Yes, when enough of us do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so I think that's where we are, and we just have to be reminded of that. I know I do, on a regular basis.
All right. Thank you, Deletta. Again, very beautiful, very, and bless you, sister. Anybody else? Reverend Cook, Reverend Jamel. Oh, Angie, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to be short.
No, go
ahead,
Angie.
I have to agree with Deletta as far as guarding what we put in our psyche. I am one of those people who I am very cautious about what I watch and what I put in my psyche. And like she said, you want to stay aware, but you also don't want to overdose on things. And so I think when you – I often joke and say I'm in my bubble and I'm okay with being in my bubble. That's my little inside joke, but it really is the truth. I'm okay with not knowing every detail, with not knowing the current murder rate, with not knowing exactly what number we're on. I understand, you know, what's going on. I just don't need to overdose on it. And I think that helps a lot in changing the perspectives and the mindset, because when I wake up in the morning, I'm not looking with the eyes of fear. I'm not looking with the eyes of danger and who's out to get me. But because I'm in my bubble, who's aware, I'm looking at who I can help, and I'm attracting more good than bad. And I think overall, majority of us don't realize that there's more good than bad out there because we focus on the bad so much.
Thank you, Angela. Bless you.
So what I'm hearing and what I try to practice is self-care. You know, in the work that we do, working with people who are in pain, you know, people who have trauma histories, if we are not taking care of ourselves, we can end up injuring others because we're not self-aware. You know, we're getting the vicarious traumatization by working with people who are hurting. So it's important for us to make sure we're in tune to our own emotions, our own physical bodies, you know, our own attitudes and dispositions. Because if we're not whole, how can we help other people to become whole?
Right.
So it's being self-aware and doing those things that we need to keep ourselves intact physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally so that we're not adding further harm to persons that we are trying to help.
Right, Pastor Cook, thank you. Thank you very much, and bless you.
You're
Reverend
well.
Jamel.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking, and I definitely want to echo everyone's comments. I think a big part is also we talk about growth and healing, and, you know, the elasticity, you know, we have to be vulnerable. We have to allow ourselves to be stretched to the place that we are supposed to be. And, you know, it may come from a place of discomfort. It may come from a place of, you know, just, hey, I don't like this. I don't like how this is looking. And most of us will realize that if we're open, if we're vulnerable. As well as Dr. Cook, we have the opportunity to see folks professionally that may personally be struggling, and they'll share it with you. And it's important to just, you know, sometimes allow people to be in that process that they're in. I mean, I can't tell anybody who's hurt not to hurt. I mean, the best I could do is say, you know, kind of work through it and ask them where they want to take it, because it won't last forever. I mean, we can remember in our own lives that we've been in pain, and how even mm-hmm. today we're not feeling that pain anymore. So it's just about reminding them that won't last forever.
It's too
so,
change.
I mean, I would just say, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, be vulnerable. It will change. Be with the process. It will change.
All right. And bless you, brother. And I just want to say, before we close out, and I'm going to give everybody a chance to plug anything that they got going on, but I just want to say, I can remember in the 90s, you know, when I was doing bail enforcement, or what people call bounty hunting work, I used to tell my partners, I'm Teflon-coated blue twisted steel. You can't hurt blue twisted steel. And my mentality was as such. But at that time, you couldn't get close enough to me mentally and emotionally, because I was shut down, I was shut off. And it was a part of what I did. You know, it was how you stayed alive. And I can look now, and like many of my hosts, I'm very vulnerable to the messages that's coming through. And it doesn't take much for it to become an overload for me. So I have to back off, I have to step away, I have to change my focus. And I'm constantly in a state of watching my thoughts, because your thoughts have power. As the universal law that I read at the very beginning of this talked about, your mind, your consciousness has the ability to help you change. So if my thoughts are as they were, focused on how hard I am and bringing in, you know, bail jumpers, then what is it that I'm producing in my life? If my thoughts are now of love and harmony, what do I bring into my world now? So my question initially that started this, or that this last question, was what can we all do? I just want to say a few things. We can pray. We can meditate. We can visualize. We can monitor our thoughts. We can send off prayers to what's going on in the world. Every time you come across something, I'm doing some research for my next book, Back from the Dead 2, Shane Gets Back into Action. And part of this research has taken me into the slave trade. There are more people in slavery in the world now than ever before. The vast majority of them are females. And most of them are young children, young enough to be my daughter. So to thoughts like that, I have to send a prayer. I have to send a blessing. I have to tell God, you know, that all is in God's order, all is in divine order, and that God's will be done. And then I can move on. So I say to everyone listening, the very least you can do is be the best possible you can do. Be better today than you were yesterday. Be better tomorrow than you are today. If you're not willing to do anything else for yourself, for your family, for the world, do that. All right, so now I want each of my hosts to take a chance and, again, tell us who you are, what you have going on in the community, and when they can hear you on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going to start with Pastor Rosemary Cook, who missed this opportunity a little earlier. Pastor Cook, if you would.
Yes. Hi, I'm Rosemary Cook, and I am hosting on Monday evening, 7 to 8 p.m., Totally Whole. And on this coming Monday, we'll be talking about spiritual checkups. My co-host, Reverend Bridget Goings, she'll be leading that conversation, and we are encouraging each one to listen and assess where are you spiritually. We go to the doctor to get checkups, so we're going to be talking about spiritual checkups. I also have a pastoral counseling practice at 1701 Madison Avenue, where we work with individuals, families, and couples, and we help people on that journey to become whole. So please feel free if you have any questions. The number is 410-728-1800, and we are accepting referrals, and we accept insurance payments and also cash. So that's what's happening to me.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Cook. And Deletta. Deletta, you still with us? Deletta? Okay, so maybe she left. All right. Angela?
Oh, Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, where finally it's all about you. We will be hosting an upscale shopping experience this weekend. So Simple Wellness is located at 519 North Charles Street, and that's where we'll be hosting this event. And when I say I thought of all the things that I can give, and not drive myself crazy doing it, I am giving away, well, we at Simple Wellness will be giving away live music. We have someone that's playing live music, wine, hors d'oeuvres. We have vendors who will be doing their products and services, that in which they get a chance to keep 100% of their profits. We're doing door prizes, discounted coupons for all the Simple Wellness services. The services include massage, skincare, hair, nails, detox, on-site hair loss clinic, and natural hair classes, automatic entrance in a spa day raffle, and a special gift for those people who come with a friend. In addition, we've just added free chair massages and $2 off all of our signature T-shirts. So it's an event you don't want to miss. Like, you're never going to get this much for free at one time, really. It's going to be amazing. I'm excited about it. If you're following me on Facebook, or you should follow me on Facebook to get more details, check out Angela Beard Hardy. Simple Wellness website is DaySpaSA, www.ArleneW.com and the phone number to schedule your appointment, and you can get an appointment 7 days a week, is 443. Nope, that's the wrong number. That's my number. It's 410-483-9355. That's 410-483-WELL. And then last but not least, join me the first Thursday of every month right here as the host of Total Empowerment. And next month in June, we'll be talking about marriage. Is it a lost art? Y'all know I got something to say about that. Marriage, is it a lost art? So join me, y'all. Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. Let's have fun together.
All right. Thank you, Angela. Arlene?
Okay.
If you can stop laughing long enough to talk to us.
So stay tuned to hear me and Reverend Harvey on One Love, One Connection, One Us, where we're going to talk about, you know, what are the reasons that we get married. Also, we have coming
up. Which
we
is
have
a great show to be following Angie's show about the lost marriage.
Exactly.
Check
yes.
that out.
Right, awesome.
Also, we stay tuned because we will be announcing that on the second Thursday our upcoming workshop where we're going to talk about the five steps. Do we have a date now?
We have a date. We spoke about that.
Okay. You announce a date. When's the date?
Oh, it's in June. I guess it's in June. We're gonna have to get back. We're gonna have to get back to you because I forgot what date do we agree upon. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You keep on going with what you're doing.
Like
right now,
I said,
we're doing our Abbott
like
and Costello
said,
routine. Who's on first? What's on second?
Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned on the second Thursday of the month, from 7 to 8, where Reverend Harvey and I will be hosting One Love, One Connection, One Us to find out about the five steps to a better relationship. Also, for anyone who is interested in my healing services, you can reach me on at healingparadigms.com. That's HEALINGPARADIGMS.com, or you can give me a call at area code 240-343-2590.
All right. And Arlene, we agreed upon it being the third Saturday in the month of June, which I believe may be the 21st, but it's the third Saturday in the month of June. That is when we will be doing the
seminar.
The five steps to a better relationship. But the actual workshop is in July, and that's when we haven't determined the date for the actual workshop. But during that workshop, we're actually going to go through. We're going to break it down to five steps. The first four steps is really for people who are not married, either single and or dating. And then the fifth step is for everyone to include married people. But all right, Reverend Jamel.
Yes, I'm here. So,
all right, tell us about you.
I am the host of Third Thursdays, the Sacred Masculine Show. We're here every Thursday, every third Thursday at 7, from 7 to 8. This particular show addresses the interests and needs of spiritual men and the women that love them. And, you know, we use a lot of humor because I believe that laughter is food for the soul. And so I definitely use a lot of humor in my interaction with my guests. Recently, we spoke about finances. Prior to that, we talked about spiritual parenting. We had a gentleman who's a community activist, but he's also the father of five. So we talked about being a parent of five and being a husband and a community activist. Next month, the month of June, it's interesting that I don't know what it is about June, but we're definitely talking a lot about marriage, but I'm going to be joined by Mrs. Sacred Masculine, the one and only soon-to-be Dr. Krista Gilliam, in addition to another group of couples, and we will talk about spiritual marriages, you know, marriages where we have introduced and integrated the power of God, the power of spirit, however you choose to, whatever name you choose to call. And this is an opportunity for us to just share with folks. You know, I really want to, you know, start talking about marriage on a positive note. There's so many people that really don't, you know, believe in it. And I'm also a pastoral counselor, if you will. Pastoral counseling. I can be reached by email at givethanks, that's G-I-V-E-T-H-X, at live.com. Or you can call me by cell, and we can arrange a referral at 410-215-7044. I think that's it. I mean, there's a whole lot of other things I could share about myself, but I'll allow folks to find that out.
Okay. And Delana?
Hello, Harvey.
Yes. Go ahead. Tell us about you and what you have going on.
Okay. I'm sorry to call. My phone dropped the call. Join me on Sundays. I'm starting on June the 14th for Updraft. It'll be every Sunday evening. This is the letter, by the way. Every Sunday evening from 7 to 9. and it will be a weekly show designed to help our listeners transition out of the weekend and into the work week with ease and humor. It'll be parts of music, talk, inspiration, and education, featuring interviews, inspirational news stories from around the world, events, calendars, and the focus will be on the work of homegrown artists and artisans. And including, there will be a weekly radio drama, a serial radio drama. So looking forward to that. I'll be composing that with some students from the different universities in the area. So Updraft on Sundays beginning June 14th from 7 to 9 p.m. And in fact, on the 28th, I'll be doing a remote from Oklahoma. Part of the work that I do is social activism and social justice, and we will be advocating on behalf of Tundalo Hall, an African-American woman who you may not be familiar with her story, but she basically was imprisoned for failure to protect her child from her partner. He only did 3.5 years for the crime, and she has done she was sentenced to 20 years. And so we are advocating at her commutation hearing for her sentence to be commuted or either for her to be exonerated. And so that's Updraft.
All right. Thank you, Delana. And, of course, I'm Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, and I am following up in the rear with the fourth Thursday of every month, this show right here, The Inner Consciousness. Next month, I will be joined by a special guest, Janine, who will be calling in, and it'll be the part three of the Healing From Within segment. The first part was about the water. This has been the second part. And then the third part, we're going to be talking about healing from within relationships. And Jamel, I can tell you what it is about June. June is typically considered marriage month. So that's why so many conversations are happening around marriage. You know, great minds think alike. And I also want to say, I believe in marriage. I've been married, I've been single, I believe married is better, but it's all in who you're doing it with, not in marriage itself. It's all about you, it's all about your growth, and it's all about the person you're being married to. With that said, let me go ahead and get out of here. I'm going to let all my hosts go because they are very busy people, as you heard. They got things to do. So, what you become is up to you. And I ain't trying to tell you what to do, but if it's the game of life you want to win, you must take time to go within. Good night, everybody.
Bye, family.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.